Morning, church, and welcome to Church of Our Savior. You know, it's been such a busy week for me because we were having synod meetings over the last weekend. And this meeting was over at Changi Village Hotel. Some of you may know. You go to Changi Village Hotel. I don't know how many of you know this term, got to catch it all. Do you all know what this term is? Y'all don't know. That's good, I guess. That's what people who play Pokemon will say, got to catch it all, you know. So in Changi, every now and then, you can see people wandering around in the streets, looking at their phone, trying to catch all these Pokemon monsters, you see. So at the peak, you know, there are crowds of people running all over in Changi. I'm so glad you all don't know this thing, lah. But the idea for them is that you can't just catch one monster, you've got to catch all of it, right? But in some ways, I think for us as Christians, we also want to catch it all, but not the monsters. I think we want all of God's blessings, right? Because God has many blessings for us. And last week when we began to talk about prayer as seeking the face of God, that's a very, very crucial part of experiencing God's plan and purpose for our lives, right? If you are not seeking God's face, you are missing God's plan for your life. You may be getting something else, but to really seek after God's face is a key component of experiencing God's blessing for you. But it's not the only component, right? So you want to know the other bit. So we want to continue to that as well. Of course, part of that component will include things like serving. That's why we made the announcement about serving in the Urban Kids. When you serve, it's not just giving. Because as you give, you also get. Do you believe that? Right? When you give, you also get, right? So we want to continue today and talk about another aspect. Well, I'll come back to serving another week. But today, I want to talk about this aspect, which is evangelism. Seems that all of us Christians, we already know that we have a responsibility to do evangelism. You know, every time we want to talk about evangelism, it's a bit like preaching to the choir. Because, you know, almost no Christian that you talk to would disagree with you that evangelism is important. Almost everyone will say, yes, I agree, it's important. Yes, I agree. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how will they call on him whom they have not, believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? By preacher, it doesn't mean me. It means all of us as Christians. If we don't bring the gospel to them, if someone had not brought the gospel to us, well, we might not have been here today, right? Romans 10, 14. And of course, Paul, in exhorting his disciple Timothy, he says, preach the gospel both in and out of season. 2 Timothy 4, 2, right? Both in and out of season. So you preach the gospel when, you know, the opportunities are there. When the situation is just right. When things are convenient. But then, also, when there's persecution. When things are not quite easy. You know, you also preach the gospel then. The Bible says that. And of course, who can forget the Lord's own words in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? The Bible tells us this. To every creature, you know, every single person that we meet. Is a potential opportunity to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ. So, this all we know, right? And on top of this, every now and then in church, you know, a pastor or two like myself will come and remind us of the importance of evangelizing, the importance of reaching out. And in our church, we have so many events. You have your BOB, your outreach at your cell level. We have outreach at ministry levels. We have outreach at the church level like Easter and the coming up Christmas as well. We do so many things. And yet, what exactly evangelism is, I suspect, is a bit of a blur in people's mind. We have some vague idea of what is actually involved in evangelism. For some people, evangelism is bring them to church, so. Right? Bring them to church and I move them to the pastor and then my job is over already. That's a good start, okay? But that's not all of evangelism. I think a lot of us get the idea of what evangelism constitutes by looking at what happens on the stage, right? Because you come to church, you see an evangelist. So you look at what the evangelist does. He comes out on the stage and then he tells some stories, you know, and then he begins to tell us of man's sin and man's problem. And then, you know, he'll talk about God's unconditional love and offer of forgiveness. And on top of that, sometimes they'll make some promise, you know, that if you follow Jesus Christ, all your problems will be solved. You know, some incredible, you know, carrot to get them interested in this whole thing. That God will solve all our problems. And then, you give an altar call. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand, you know. So, you know, we do all this altar call. And after this, we come back and think, oh, that's evangelism, right? And then when the pastor tells you, you must do evangelism, you think, wow, cannot lah. I don't think I can do the, you know, I see that hand, you see that hand kind of thing, right? And anyway, in my office, how do I do? You know, we get this idea. But what you see is what must happen in church, because we only have 20 to 40 minutes to talk about the message of Jesus Christ, and that is pretty much all we can do in a church setting. It is not what you are supposed to do. It's what I'm supposed to do and people who are here are supposed to do. Evangelism for you looks very different. In fact, in churches where this method of evangelism works, it works primarily because the members have been sowing before the harvest. You know, there's a law of life that says, if you sow, don't sow, you don't reap. Right? That's a law of life. And churches where you see many people respond to the altar call, very simple. The reason is because in the season leading up to the harvest, they have been working the ground. They've been watering the seed. They've been sowing the seed. They've been watering it. They've been fertilizing it. So that when come harvest time, you can close the deal. You can have something to harvest. But in churches which focus only on closing the deal, but don't do all these other things along the way, you know what? Even if you have Billy Graham come and be your evangelist, there will be no harvest. You understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So in a whole church, evangelism is a joint effort. Right? What you see on the big day, alright, on Easter, on Christmas, that's just a very, very, very small part. That's not even the key part. That's just at the end of an entire season of work, you pluck the harvest. But unless as a church we do the other stuff, there will be no harvest, right? If you want to reap a harvest, then there must be, first of all, a season of sowing, which is right now, which is all of us, right? We are beginning a season, not just after Christmas. We are turning our church now. We have spent 2 years building a church, setting our foundations. Eventually, the church must come to its purpose, which is to be a light to the world. Right? I mean, you buy a coffee machine, right? I don't know how many have coffee machine. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee, but, you know, people give me coffee machine, right? The coffee machine has been sitting in my house for many, many years now. And most of the time, it's used to as a paperweight, you know. And when I need to have something heavy, I just put on top. The whole box hasn't even been opened yet. And I think it's quite a good paperweight, I must say, because it's quite heavy. But its intention is never to be a paperweight, right? It can do that. Its purpose is to make coffee. Now, church has many, many things that we can do. But actually, our purpose is to be a light unto the world, a light to the nations. Amen? Right? So, when we talk about evangelism, we're not just talking about you doing what I'm doing. I'm talking about a joint effort. And I'm asking your help to help Kuz become a light to this nation, a light to our community, a light to our friends. Right? Now, other people, maybe when we think about evangelism, we have other notions. Some of us have met what I call the obnoxious evangelist, right? In fact, some of us may have been the obnoxious evangelist, right? In our zeal sometimes, we may become quite, well, I guess, quite awkward when approaching people. I know there are some people who, in their zeal, go up to a non-Christian's, you know, first time coming to church and, hey, you never go to church, you must believe Jesus, otherwise you go to hell, you know. I mean, you know, I know you mean well, you know, I know, God bless your heart. But that is not the way to go about it, right? I'll tell you a story about myself. I may have mentioned this before. When I was in junior college, I was with Campus Crusade, and they would give me a stack of four spiritual laws, you know, these little tracts, and, you know, I had to go through it, you know, I must make sure I give my quota how many, and I was very on fire. I thought, yes, Lord, I will go through it. I will give this gospel to this four spiritual laws presentation to many people, and, you know, I'm a bit of an introvert, but I'm very focused in meeting my target. So, you know, during recess, I'll go to canteen. I see all the people sitting all alone. These are potential targets. Because two or three people, very hard to manage them. So there was this guy who I noticed two or three days sitting alone there already. So I thought, okay, got it. Lord, you know, open his heart, soften his heart. So I brought the four spiritual laws and brought my food, sat in front of him. Hi. Then he looked at me. Hi, do I know you? No, you don't know me, but I've been watching for 2 days already. Yeah. No, stalker, right? Not the way to do it, no. And I remember, I tried to share the gospel to him while he was trying to eat very fast, I think, to get away from me. You know, about a week later, I was coming down from the stairs and he was, you know, I was in Raffles Junior College, this long hallway, and I could see him coming around from the main forum area. He came in, I was coming down the stairs, he saw me from a long way away. And I saw him from a long way away. Our eyes met. He quickly turned left and went. I also quickly turned on the other side to meet him on the other side. See, he saw me, he ran. And I was thinking to myself, I don't think this is supposed to be how evangelism quite works, right? Now, some of us, when you meet people like me, you might get away and say, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to have anything to do with evangelism, right? If that's what evangelism is, you know, it scares everybody, okay? So some of us, maybe we have met people like that, okay? And maybe we come away with, oh, okay, evangelism is going around, you know, pushing the Bible in people's face. Okay, well, it is not. It is not. So this is what we want. What then is evangelism? We'll talk about the practical aspects of evangelism, because the theological aspects, I think you all know already, okay? You all agree already. But how do we actually go about doing it? You know, Jesus says in Mark chapter 1 verse 17, he says, you know, follow me, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? But he never tells us how. He just says, I will make you fishers of men, but Lord, yeah, but how? Well, we're supposed to work it out ourselves. Recently, our staff went on some sort of, staff activity, and we went prawning. Okay, for those of you who do not know, prawning is like fishing, but there's no fish. It's only prawns, right? So we went to prawn. Of course, this is what I call amateur prawning, lah. They put the prawns in there for you to catch, on, right? It's not like open up, we spent a long time there. But anyway, when we went there, there was a whole bunch of things they will tell you. First of all, prawning, must use a line and a hook, just like fishing, right? And then they'll tell you, but you must use your bait, right? So there are different kinds of bait, the cheap one, the more expensive one. And then the expensive bait, you got to put it in such a way that, you know, the worm can still wriggle a little bit. So it looks like it's alive, and maybe you can increase your chances in that way. And this is what there's a whole bunch of skills involved in prawning. You have thought that, I mean, we're all just, you know, bohe-hu-ga-ho, right? So we just eat prawn, it's very easy. But actually, that's quite an involved, I guess, process on learning how to do it. In the same way, evangelism requires us to understand the process, right? And the process really begins when you know what is your product. You know, it's a bit like you're God's salesman, right? You're a salesman. I live near Holland. And where I live in Holland, you know, there's always somebody down there, right? When you go down Holland, there's always some people trying to smile at you, right? And these are the people that we all avoid. Right, from distance, you see all these people, they're smiling, they're holding something in their hand, and you know, oh yeah, they're going to ask you, hey sir, excuse me, do you have 5 minutes? Just pretend you didn't hear them, you know, or pretend you look very busy. Or best still, there's some people walking, you just position yourself so that, you know, they can't get to you without getting it. That girl, yeah, will get it. All right. You know, we are actually God's salesmen. But what kind of salesmen? Okay, that's a key question, right? So we are God's salesmen, saleswomen, but what kind of salesmen? Now, first thing you need to know as a salesperson is you got to know your product. What exactly are you selling? What is it that you're trying to bring to people? You're not trying to sell the church to people, right? You understand this? Although we want to invite people to church, but that's not really what we are selling. We're not selling a particular pastor. We're not selling a particular cell group. So what exactly is our product? Or if you like, what is your message? And I found that so often Christians are unable to articulate the message in a clear, concise, and contemporary way. Right? You can't go up to somebody and say, you know what, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins, right? In order to justify our sins, to redeem us from damnation, and to sanctify us. You know, I mean, all those words are, you need dictionary. First of all, when you say crucified, what do you mean, right? When you say sins, what do you mean? When you say redeem, what is redeem, right? Redeem, the only redeem they'll know is voucher redeem, right? And then when you say sanctify, wow, that word, it's really difficult. You know, you can't really talk to people like this, right? So if you want to catch a prawn, you won't use, I guess you won't put money down there, right? Money will catch some other kinds of things. You know, actually comes the thing of it. I managed to catch a dead prawn, you know. And I don't know how you catch a dead prawn, but you know, I did it. So can't eat. So question is, how do you articulate? So I want to give a shot here, just a quick try to maybe make an attempt, okay? It's not correct or anything. It's just something I put down. I say, man's problem is that we are slaves to our survival instinct, right? We are slaves to our instinct that selfish and self-seeking behavior, kiasu or kiasi, right? And this prevents us from recognizing, among other things, the value of another human, because we are always competing on survival of the fittest, right? We fail to recognize the humanity in another person or to love the other person, right? So this self-seeking nature, this worship of self, you like, we do it because it promises us happiness, safety, security, comfort, and maybe even power as rewards. So we think that if we can continue in our selfish way, we can get all these things. We can be saved. We can ultimately be happy. But this thing that the Bible calls sin, is what the Bible calls it, this self-centered sin will never be able to provide us that meaningful life that we desire, right? With compassion and peace and so on and so forth. Rather, this way of sin will lead us down to the path of alienation, of separation, of broken relationships between other people and you and God and us. You know, man has tried over and over again to get out of this problem, to find happiness. But you know, this is the 21st century. We have so many new discoveries in technology, in science. There are so many cultural, cross-cultural experiences. And there are so many religions in the world. And to be honest, in all these years, man has not only not found the peace and the fulfillment. Instead, things are actually getting worse. Just look at the world today, right? Now, in the Bible, Jesus shows us God's perfect plan for you and for me. He shows us a way to find what we really are looking for. This way of truth and of life is unselfish, it is counterintuitive, it's countercultural. But if you follow this way, the Bible says we will discover the real life, the real abundant life that we are supposed to live, right? That's not anchored in your material possessions, that's not anchored in your status in life, it's not anchored in your bank account. It is God's way that's available to everyone. Who is Jesus? Jesus is no other than God coming in the form of man into our midst, right? To help us make a way, to show us the way to life, to forgive us the guilt and the sins of our erroneous ways. He's doing this because he knows we have tried, he knows that we are lost, and God made us and he loves us, so he wants to give us this hope of finding life. If you will receive it, this is for you and for me today. And the thing is this, this is how you can experience this, right? Jump into the water. Take a leap into this water and give yourself a chance to experience what God has for you. Okay, don't be reserved. The Bible calls this the act of faith. And faith is a decision. It starts by a decision. Give this a try. The Bible says, come, taste and see. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Okay, something like this might be, I suppose, I mean, it's not the best way. Maybe you can come with something better. It would be a way to try and talk about the gospel in a language that maybe non-Christians can relate to, right? In terms that they can sort of begin to understand. Because the truth is, Christian jargon is quite a specialized language. About 20% of the words we use in church circles, people wouldn't understand, all right? So, I want to suggest that actually, all of us need to go through this process of trying to articulate the gospel in very simple. Okay, this is, maybe there should be a Singlish version to this, right? There should be a Singlish version to this. Also, when you talk to, you know, the Abeng la, the Aliena, you can't just use all this filifele, the high-flying, high-faluting English, right? You just go like, I tell you, Jesus, jin ho wan, you know, you got to do it in a way that people can understand what you're saying. Right? It's not about our presentation. It's about them understanding it. So, first of all, if you are a salesman, you got to know how to articulate what are the key ideas of your product. If you don't, you end up talking about everything else. You agree? Right? But you know what? Christians actually don't do this, you know. We always assume that the pastor will do this. Right? But actually, every one of you got to do this. Alright? Turn to your neighbor and say, you have to do this. Okay? This is your homework, okay? So this is our product. We want to present it to people. We are not converting people. Okay, only God can convert the heart. What you are doing is you are presenting. So you must be a good presenter. You are not converting people. You are just providing information. You are trying to share about what you have found so that they can find it as well. Right? And actually, every one of us must be prepared to do this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, you know, the armor of God. It ends with this part that says, having shod, now that's a very King James language, having shod your feet, means having fitted your feet, or worn on your feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the preparation, right? Now we know this verse. We also know that Paul told Timothy, be prepared to preach the gospel, right? In and out of season. But actually, we are not prepared. We don't actually do things that so today we're going to try and get a little bit more prepared. Why must we be prepared? Because you never know when the door will open. When people are ready, you never know when the fruit is ripe for the picking. And you miss the moment. You know, the fruit can rot on the tree, right? And you miss that opportunity completely. So all of us, you cannot always, I'll call my pastor. Cannot. Sometimes, actually most of the time, you need to be the main evangelist. You understand what I'm saying? Right? But don't be scared about it, okay? It's not so hard. Now, some of us may prefer to use the four spiritual laws, the booklets or some other tool that people provide. There's even an app, you know, you can just open up the app and you flip. Do you want this? Yes, no, yes, no. There's such an app out there. You are interested? I think our staff can show you the app. But nothing beats you having crafted your own presentation. I tell you, honestly, that must be the first thing. You can have tools, but the tools are only there to help you after you have made your own presentation. Okay, so this is your homework, right? You can't sell what you cannot articulate. So you and I, we are supposed to be a salesman. Now, selling things are not easy, right? I think you agree, it's not easy. And I think for Christians especially, most of us never imagine we are supposed to be the salesman. Now, asking you to sell me this pen, what would you do? What do you think you'd do? Okay, there's no correct answer, don't worry. I know Singaporeans are very worried. They're worried that I don't make this answer. Look, there are many answers. Right? But what would you do that will make it compelling? This is a very interesting exercise. I know it's not very fair, but actually it is very interesting exercise, because many times when we do evangelism, we're not asking ourselves, we're only thinking about, I need to go through my presentation. You're not even thinking about people. Well, I'll suggest a few things, right? Very quickly in the time that we have. First of all, you must understand your customer. You must understand people. Right, you might have the most beautiful car that's so powerful and with so many features and the price is so good, but if the guy is blind, alright, or if the guy has no driving license, they won't buy the car from you, right? So you might want to think, okay, if you won't buy the car, maybe you'll buy the car as a gift for your wife or for your daughter. You know, you have to start thinking, understand the person you're dealing with. And you do that by asking questions. You know, when was the last time you used a pen? Well, this morning. Well, they were, anyway, you want to find out a bit more. That is a good way to start, right? And I think for many of us, before you can really evangelize to people, you must actually become genuinely interested in people. You must actually like people. You must really care for people. And that genuineness, that caring, comes when you actually take a real interest in them rather than in what you do. You know, sometimes you talk to salespeople, you know they are only interested in their sale. They don't really care what you need or you don't need, right? They only are interested in pushing their product. You know, that's the most lousy feeling, isn't it? When you go up there and someone tells you, hey, you must buy this coffee machine, I don't drink coffee. But this is still a very nice coffee machine. What do I care about that? I don't drink coffee. Maybe I sell you kaya. Do you like kaya? You know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to, be interested in people. So, the first thing, gather information. Ask questions about the people. Don't just go and share the gospel. Like me, sit down. I don't even know what you're doing. Maybe you're busy. Maybe, you're going through some difficult things. I don't care. I just want to go through my presentation. That is not evangelism. Okay? So first, take an interest in people. Try to understand people. Second, respond in the right way. The last thing you want is to be fake and pretentious towards people, right? That's what we hate the most for everybody, right? You don't come to say, hey, how are you? Oh yeah, my father just died. Oh, your father just died. Hey, you want to come to join our Christmas carol? You know, no, it's just like, no, did you hear what I just said? Your father just died. Oh, that's terrible. Oh my goodness. So, you can't come to our Christmas thing. You know what I mean? It's like, are you even, okay? So respond appropriately, but there's no correct way of responding appropriately, right? To respond appropriately needs you to be, you have got to have some EQ, basically, that's what I'm saying, right? In evangelism, we need to develop some kind of sensitivity to people. And one of the ways you can do to respond correctly is by putting yourself in people's shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. You know, the people you're talking to, they're not stupid, they're not bad people, they're not evil people, right? They might not behave in a way that you have come to expect from a Christian, but, you know, they probably have reasons. And as you ask questions about their reasons, put yourself in their shoes. Be compassionate, be empathetic, right? And then give meaningful answers. Don't be in a rush to go through your evangelistic thing. But be focused too, alright? Okay, so if people tell you there are other pressing concerns, listen to it first. Okay, don't just be fixated on meeting a quota. Third of all, present and deliver well. Because mainly you are trying to tell them something, right? When the opportunity is right, right? Present, and by presenting and delivering well, I mean that you have to answer and address questions. People may have problems. I don't know when. You know, last time, a Christian cheated me of my money. Oh, don't worry, our church, our Christians won't cheat you of money. You know, I mean, I don't think this is a very good question, good answer, right? So to present correctly, say, yeah, I know, being a Christian, you know, not Christians are not perfect. We are just forgiven, right? And there are, it's true, it's very unfortunate, but you know, don't let that stop you from experiencing the reality. Because sometimes you might say something that's appropriate, that's also quite clear, right? But don't hard sell, lah. Because I think sometimes when we present, we tend to oversell the gospel. If you believe in Jesus Christ, next week, I guarantee you're total sure kena. I mean, I know this is a bit of exaggeration, but sometimes we do the same. God will solve all your problems, your business will show prosper, all your sicknesses will be gone. Now, I know in general that's true, but you're talking to a non-Christian, he's going to take your words quite literally, and basically you're selling snake oil. Because you know, your problems won't all go away. Sometimes your problems will actually increase, right? So, I think we need to be clear about what you're saying, present it clearly, be disciplined and clear. Don't end up talking about all kinds of things, the second coming of Jesus and all this kind of thing. You know, just be kind of focused on the core message. Then you won't waste so much time, right? Be honest and be humble. Share your own journey. You know, we don't have to be perfect. Just share your own journey. Sometimes the imperfection of your journey can help them see the clarity. Oh, you mean being a Christian doesn't mean I have to become a saint first, right? You know, unless you happen to be in All Saints Church where Darren has gone, they're all saints. But you know, you don't have to be a saint first. In fact, non-Christians, non-perfect people, many of us, right, find our way to Christianity because of our flaws. Anyway, fourth of all, you have to ask. Okay, asking is important. Don't beat around the bush. Some people, they make a nice presentation, but they don't actually get to the point of asking. And I think all of us, you know, okay, in asking, in trying to close a deal, you're trying to make it easy for them to come to the Lord, right? You're not trying to make it difficult for them to come to the Lord. You want to believe Jesus, I tell you first of all, are you ready to give up everything, right? Give up your job, give up family. Jesus says, you know, must deny all of them, hate all of them, right? I mean, you don't try to make it, they're chwateo, you know, because they can't understand the context of what you're saying, right? You're trying to make it easy. I don't know if you noticed during altar calls that I give, I got pattern, right? I'll say, you know, in a minute, I'm going to count to three. What am I doing? I'm trying to prepare them. I'm giving them clarity. Because sometimes people don't know, hey, am I supposed to raise up my hand now or, don't worry, I'll tell you clearly on the count of three, right? So, they are rested, they are not running over. And then, you notice, I always do, the first thing I do is, everyone close your eyes. You know, I know this because, as Asians, we all hate raising up our hands. We all have been traumatized in school. In school, all those who never pass up homework, raise up your hands. Jala already. All those who raise up their hands stand outside the door. Very outstanding students, right? So, you know, then you come to church, raise up your hands. All the trauma from school all come back to you, right? So that's why everyone close their eyes. Don't worry. There's no embarrassment here, right? Raise up your hands. And that's the easiest thing. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to walk all the way out here. Just raise your hands and I'll pray for you, right? You don't have to do anything. But then you notice I always, after that, I will say, okay, now we're all fantastic. Hard part is over. Now let's just stand up, right? I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me. You notice I always do this, right? That one more thing is actually the harder thing. Come all the way to the front, right? Now why am I doing this? It's very simple. I'm trying to make it easy for them. When you ask your friends, don't make it hard for them to accept Jesus Christ. Make it easy for them. I mean, you teach someone to swim, first of all, you start them out with a baby pool, right? And then you start them out in the shallow end of the big pool, correct? Finally, you go to the 16-foot deep. You want to start someone out in the 16-foot deep, they all drown. Sometimes we all Christians, we're not thinking, we're not preparing, we're not thinking because we're not prepared, right? So when you ask people, you ask, you know, ask the easy things first. When your friend is showing some interest, you know, hey, I know you're interested, I'm so glad you're interested. Maybe you might have a question. How about you would like to join us for our cell group, maybe get a feel of what it's like, you know, see, so that you don't have to jump straight into the big thing, right? And maybe in your cell group, oh yeah, actually this is quite, I can live with this, you know. Would you like to join us for something, you know, some activity? And just be one of us, help us, right? You're making it easy for them. Ask in a way that is compelling, okay? So, even opportunities that come up sometimes, don't always go for the big thing. You know, some simple things, can I pray for you? Can I invite you to my cell? Things like this, right? But don't hide your faith. Don't hide your faith. Don't try to pretend that. Our church has a very nice, I don't know, origami program. Come lah. Then come for origami and suddenly become altar call lah. Okay, this is switch and bait. Okay, just go and say, you know, we are Christian. And by the way, you know, we actually would like you to know a little bit about our church and about Christianity, because, you know, I have experienced this really good. I really would love it if you could. Would you come for our Alpha program? You know, be genuine. Understand? Don't switch and bait. Don't pretend it's something else. It come for us for singing. Like, come singing, like, all Christian songs. One, huh? Then at the end of the choir singing, got altar call. Okay, this is switch and bait. Don't do that. It's not Christian-like to be untruthful. Alright? So, ask honestly. Okay, to sell a pen. Understand your client. Respond genuinely, appropriately. Prepare and deliver clearly. And then ask. Ask appropriately, okay? Now, the Bible says that we need to be prepared in and out of season. And I think the problem is that sometimes we don't prepare because, one, we are afraid of being embarrassed. We are afraid of being embarrassed, right? Or we are afraid that things might become awkward between you and your friends. Okay, I'm going to share my gospel with my boss. Then you are praying very hard. I hope I still have a job tomorrow, you know? You're worried about this awkwardness. Or maybe some of us are afraid of rejection. Let me be very honest with you. When you're a salesman, you always find there will be rejection. You don't want any rejection, you have to find some other line of work, right? But in evangelism, it's the same. You must learn to overcome some of that fear, right? But then beyond the fear, evangelism, I would say five things to wrap this up, okay? It requires a lot of thoughtful preparation and reflection. I think people don't do this. That's why they are afraid of evangelism. You actually need to sit down and ask yourself how you are going to do it. Think through it carefully, right? Then you become more prepared. The lack of preparation is why we are ineffective in evangelism and why we end up getting rejected so often, right? Sometimes, we also don't do it because we have failed to reflect on the joy of our own salvation, right? We've forgotten our testimony. We've forgotten what it was like when we were first saved. All the excitement fizzled out already in honeymoon years of your Christianity. So now, evangelism sounds like work rather than, you know, really something that comes from your heart. So we need to get back ourselves, right, into that early place of remembering the joy of our salvation. Okay, so be humble, be thoughtful, okay, don't be bossy, don't be so quick to judge people and tell them what to do. And some of us are prone to do that, right? Because of your personality, right? Secondly, evangelism is a skill, right? Like prawning, the more you do it correctly, the better you get at it. There are some people who just like prawn, just like keep pulling out prawn after other prawn, you know? It's like, I don't know what they're doing. And then there are others of us who can sit there for 2 hours, you know, kumbaya, no prawn, you know? So, okay, so it is a skill, right? And you need to practice the skill. Right? It's a skill that a lot of people, they've never done it before. And the first time they do it, they fail. Of course, the first time you do it, you'll fail. You know, I mean, first time you prawn also, you won't catch anything. You know, maybe you catch a dead prawn. So, the more skillful you are, one, your chances become better. Right? The pain becomes lesser. Alright? So, finding your own ways. Right, as you come up, no, don't always copy other people's ways. I have my own way. Along the way, I've tried to find a way that I can talk to people easily. I might ask, for example, right? I might ask somebody, "Hey, by the way, you go to church or not?" Very innocent question, right? Not threatening. Didn't go. "Hey, you want to come to church or not?" Right? I've tried to do this, or maybe okay, don't use my method. If everyone does this method, then don't work anymore. This is my method. You find your own method, right? I try to ask people about simple things like this. Okay. "Hey, by the way, you know." As opposed to, "I want to invite you to come to church." You know, that's a bit more, I think, yeah, you feel more trapped, right? I try, "Hey, have you been to church? Would you like to come to church? We've got this really interesting program, right? And, you know, honestly, we want you to know about God." So, something like this. You find, then the more comfortable you get with it, the more comfortable people get with it. Because if you are very awkward, you go up there, "Would you..." You know, the guy is like, they're waiting. "Would I what?" "I want to actually invite you to come to..." "Come to what?" You know, the more awkward you are, the more awkward people will be. The more comfortable you are, the more comfortable will be. So it is a skill, right? Third of all, evangelism takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not you can just open and close the deal. You know, that's why big days are actually not the most effective things. You bring someone who's never heard the gospel before, you come here, sit for 1.5 hours, and you expect them to make a life-changing decision. Actually, it's very unrealistic. All right? So, we need your help. Okay, it takes time. It takes real love and compassion in order to persevere over time. If you don't love somebody, you give up very easily. But if you really love somebody, you persevere over time. With many of our parents, we need to persevere over time. But the problem why we take so long with our parents is sometimes we beat around the bush too much. We don't go to the point because we are afraid of going to the point, you know. Because parents they are always your parents, right? You get awkward things with God. Fourth of all, evangelism requires this word incarnation. Let me ask you, what do you think makes your gospel message compelling? What do you think? Do you think it's the style in which you present it? The clarity? The conciseness? Well, I'll tell you what makes your gospel message compelling. You. Your life. If you are the most hated staff in your office, your evangelism is not going to be effective. Doesn't matter whether you copy Billy Graham's sermon you are the demonstration of the product, right? When people look at you and say, you know what, I like you. But the truth of the matter is that I know at least a good chunk of Christians struggle with personality issues. Some of us, I know this because I face you all. Some of us, we have, you know, quirky personalities, right? And I know in the workplace, everyone is Satan, you know. Then I know like this is quite hard to evangelize already. If you feel everyone in your office is persecuting you, I think we need to deliver you a bit, so that you won't have, because if you keep looking at them as your persecutors, or if you are always, you know, in a very contentious situation, you know, Christians need to be winsome in the way you relate to people. It doesn't mean you have to be pushovers, but you need to be righteous and winsome. And you must be people that people can relate to, people can respect, right? And then, when you invite them, I think something good can come out of it. But if you're the most hated person in your office, then I'm afraid your evangelism chances might be a bit low, right? So that's why I always say, my car, I don't put any sticker about, you know, Jesus loves you and all that, right? Because if you drive that way, you don't want to say Jesus loves you, right? So same thing, how we live, we are actually the bait, you are the bait in the office, right? So, and the bait, it's not something you just turn on about 1 week before Christmas, you know. I mean, imagine, the whole, you know, you are the skiver in your office. You know skiver, right? The person who everything, boss come only, very busy, you know. Boss gone only play Tetris, all right? So people know, everyone in the office knows which are the skivers, all right? And then 1 week before Christmas, suddenly, hard work. You want to come to our church or not? We're evangelistic, everyone's thinking, I was crazy. I know who you really are, okay? That's so pretentious. Okay. You got to work on your own testimony. That's why our Christian living is so important. You're not just living well for your own sake. You're living well because you are a light to other people. And people are watching you whether you like it or not. Right? That's why I'm very scared when people say, I'm a Christian in my office. Okay. That's good, but what kind of Christian? Right? What kind of Christian are you in the office? Okay. So, I know we all struggle. This is a big issue. No time to really get into that today. Right? We'll talk about it at some other time. But incarnation. Talk about Jesus not only around Christmas or Easter. Let God be on your lips all the time. You know, when good things happen, say, you know what? I thank my God. God helped me on this or that. You know, it's okay, man. People won't kill you for that. But when you say, of course, don't everything say God all the time and don't become the very religious person. In the office, say, our company is not doing well this year. It's because, you know, God punished us. Okay, don't say this in the very inappropriate or obnoxious. Some of us will think, yeah, that's why we never, you know, we do this. You pray to that. Kwang Kong, that's why, you know, God punish you. You know, if you worship God. No, okay, not that kind of God. But in terms of giving thanks, okay, giving thanks and being a testimony for God. Let God be on your lips all the time, right? Now, some of you might say, but Pastor, why if this person that I want to talk to has no needs? His life is going great. Everything is fine and dandy. The fact is that you never know. Some of the people that I know, they are wealthy, you know, beyond belief. And yet, they got so many problems in their life. Okay? You never know. You can't really judge a book by its cover. Make an effort to reach everyone, okay? And our kindness, our compassion, our care, these things back up your message. They back up your message and let people be interested in what you have to say, right? And some of us, of course, we're still working on our testimony, right? Because maybe last time we were terrible persons, and now after this sermon you want to become winsome. It will take some time, but all I can say is hurry up, you know. But become a nicer person. Be honest, be genuine about it. The good news is this. If you have been a terrible person in office, and then you suddenly become a very good person, the contrast will be stark. People, what happened to you? I listened to the sermon. You know, God changed my life. And God can change your life also. Okay, I mean, okay, but, you know, sometimes the big change is good. Now, if you've been good all the time, okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I don't waste time talking about that. Fifth of all, evangelism is an act of faith. You are doing your part, but actually, God is working with you. You are working with God, right? So we are co-laborers in God. So, because you're working with God, you don't always have to force your way. It's not all your effort, right? If you try fishing in one pool, no fish, just move on. Move on to where it is. Because it's not all about how you good or bad you perform. This is not a performance thing, you see, right? It's not about how many people, wow, I got 5 people this week, you know. Okay, that's nice and great, right? But don't worry, don't let that make you feel bad, or don't let that make you feel proud. It is really the work of God. It's an act of faith. So don't give up easily. But then again, go for the low-lying fruit first, lah. Right? And the fact of the matter, as I said before, is that you will have not every fruit is ripe for the picking. Right? Not every fruit is ready. And sometimes you just have to move around a little bit. And don't fish in the same pool. You know, when we went prawning, there are different pools, And then the other pool, wow, every time, yeah. Okay, you bring your thing, you go to that pool. Right? What's the pool? Like nothing going on here, except dead prawns. So, you know, sometimes you just have to ask yourself, if you run out of friends, make some friends, long. Because I know, at this stage in life, some of us maybe not so many friends anymore. Make friends, make new friends. Alright? Smile. So I'm looking across this room. Some of us have, you know what's a resting face or not? You know what's a resting face? A resting face is what your face looks like when you're not making any effort. Now, some of us have a resting face that look like Bao Jing Tian. So, people look at you. Now look, you want to make friends? Smile. Smiling makes you more beautiful. Right? It makes you more approachable. When you smile, people come to you. Hey, hi. You know, talk to people. You know, hey, don't worry, how are you? You know, I mean, just smile, right? Yesterday, I was just talking to one of my neighbors that stay on the 17th floor. I smile at him and say, hi, how are you? I saw you over there the other day. We started talking. Oh, your mom is in St. Andrew's Nursing Home. I say, yeah, what will you do? I'm actually, you know, our church is the chaplain for the... Oh, really? You know, that becomes a conversation. Smiling, very important, okay? It's a God-given gift for some of us. Okay. But mainly, God is the one who's working this out. You know, and you never really know. You just work at it. You don't know when. But the more you put into it, then you pray about it. And that's also why you have to pray, right? You have to pray for people, because it's not just you and your skill. Although that is very important. The preparation is very important. You know, my father-in-law recently, I told you, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, you know, kidney and liver. And it's a pretty bad situation. And I've been going down to his house. I've been sowing the seed, you know. I bought him a new computer, $1,000, because, you know, he can't go from the house. And he was kind of really happy about this. Oh, I showed up one night with a computer, because he mentioned he wanted a computer. And now he's really happy. And so I go down and I drive him to the hospital. I drive him back. And, you know, every time he feels so bad, because I go early in the morning, 7 o'clock, to pick him to the hospital. And if I don't need, every time don't need, I mean, I'm sowing seed. Because when I tell you about God, that is all the things that help him see that actually we really care for you, right? And then I remember last Sunday or something like this, I went to visit him. You know, check on his computer, check on him, and he seems to be getting a bit better. And I said, Father, you need to start going to church, lah, you know. Because now I can talk to him like this, because I've been really there for a lot. He said, you must start going to church. He said, yeah, you ask mother to go first, you know. So I said, I'll take, and one or two I also take, right? But you see, he's like not awkward anymore. We can just talk about that, right? And then I said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, my whole church praying for you, you know. I told my whole church about, I said, really? Yeah. So you must thank God, because we were really. And then you know what? I heard last Tuesday or Wednesday, I got a message from sister-in-law, you know, father's tumor has shrunk. Oh, I said, yes, now I got even more ammo, because we are working with God, right? So the next time, prayer works, right? Because I just told him on Sunday only, right? I told you, right? Prayer works. Hey, really, whatever your reservations, just come to church, right? And at least give God a chance to show. I mean, this is working with God. It's not just that I didn't do anything about the tumor, but I did all the other stuff, right? You got to do your part. And you have to trust God to do His part. Amen? So, from this point onwards, right, we have 2 years of preparation now. we are going to turn our church from the KP to the I, to impacting people, this is where you really come in. It's not no longer about the church program, nothing here about here. It's really all about you guys now. Every single one of you, I'm asking for your help to go out there, to prepare your presentation of gospel, to start fanning out wherever you are to reach people. Okay? I mean, coming to church is where we hope they eventually join the community, but just begin. And the best thing is this, you see, when you step out in obedience, particularly in the area of evangelism, you know what happens? Well, first of all, your prayer life will increase, right? You'll be praying like mad because you're so scared, you know, because they say that evangelism is one thing that's feared most by Christians and non-Christians alike, right? The Christians, go out evangelism, Oh, I don't know what happened, man. Then the non-Christians, they're also scared, right? You come to them, they're, it's going to start already, it's going to start, I've got to get out of here. No, everyone is afraid of evangelism. Then you pray more, Lord, help me, give me wisdom, open the door, give me courage, help me to, okay, whatever it is. Secondly, your faith will increase. You know, you actually will grow spiritually. You know, faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, it will atrophy. And some of us, since maybe the early days of us accepting Christ, you may not have exercised that muscle. Or some of them never at all. Okay? Start small, but start. Okay? Because this is good for your spiritual life. So when I say you got to catch it all, yes, prayer is one thing. But actually, going out and obeying God in this area of evangelism, I tell you, this will really give you a breakthrough in your faith. Breakthrough in your own spiritual life. So you're not just doing this for other people, although you are, but this is also good for your personal spiritual life. When you do what is close to the heart of God, God will be very close to your own heart. You know, that's what Jesus said, right? That you go and make disciples of all nations, lo and behold, I will be with you to the end of the age. So this is what we want to do. A church in revival doesn't just pray. Okay, I believe in prayer, but I don't believe in praying and doing nothing. Praying and doing nothing is religion, right? I think you're really, really serious, then all of us, alright? So all of you, you got homework, right? Your homework, first of all, is you got to find your own way of presenting gospel. Every one of you, don't no escape. Everyone, those of you sitting alone, all of you, you got to think about it. You got to go back and give thoughtful reflection and preparation. Who are the people? If you're a bit more, maybe your niece, your nephew, right? These are the people that potentially your grandkids, people that you can easily go for the easy one first, then easy one finish already, work your way out from there. But every one of us, time is running, but the world is waiting for us. Yeah, the world is waiting for us to be ready. And I think the church sometimes take a very, very long time because maybe we know we didn't really have an intention to be ready. Okay, so when we want to reach the community, not just Queenstown, your communities, your homes, your friends, your workplace, we're going to start doing this, right? We really are going to, this next 1, 2, 3 years, this is really our focus. Our focus is to really reach out. Amen? You got work to do, All of us got KPI, right? We have work to do, right? And I want to make this as easy. It's not a hard thing. So the Bible says, right, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Let's pray. And we'll sing a song to sing after this. Lord, we want to thank you for calling us, Lord. We thank you that years ago in our lives, somebody obeyed you. Somebody overcame their fear. Somebody found a way to listen to our needs. Somebody found a way and made preparations to share their testimony, to share the gospel message to us. And we thank you, Lord, that we are here today because somebody did it. And Lord, today, the world, a lost and Christ, a world that's headed to a Christless eternity, they are waiting for Church Our Savior. They are really waiting for us. Lord, we thank you that we have had 2 years of preparation, but we are not preparing for the sake of preparing, Lord. We are building up our war chest so that we can go out and we can build the kingdom of God. And Father, every one of us, more than the money that we give, this obedience, this is the stuff that will push back the kingdom of darkness and bring the kingdom of light. So Father, I pray, give us courage, give us wisdom. Those of us who really need help with our personality, Lord, transform and change us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. Shall we stand together as we sing?
Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hands? Yeah. everything we have. Use it for your plans. Would you take a look at our hearts? Mold it, refine it as you set us apart. We want to run to the altar and catch the fire to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope to our
this is our prayer. We want to build a church without walls, Lord. We want to bring the gospel beyond this safety of these confines. We want to go to where the people need you the most, Lord. And Father, for some of us, Lord, we may feel that we can't do it. Father, I pray today your Spirit will give us faith to believe that we can do it. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our limitations, everything can become an opportunity for the gospel. Just open our eyes, Lord, to see the need. Open our eyes to see the opportunities and help us to have faith in you and to be willing, Lord. So, Father, as we go from this place now, we are going not just as Christians after a service. We are going as sent people, Lord. Send us out to love the world, to preach the gospel to the lost. Send us out to build your kingdom. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and be close to us as we ourselves remain close to you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. Service is over. I'll see you all back next week. Alright, God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.